Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution with Kirby breaking news, culture, matic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Holy cow, a lot to cover today. A continuation of the bank collapse and also a consolidation of just the bigger banks keep eating up the smaller banks. Who are the winners and losers of that? We'll get to all that. We also have a clip of Max Keiser from many years ago describing Jamie Dimon and describing this specific situation. But what's interesting about that clip is that it was recorded like 5 or 6 years ago. Somehow Max called it. Anyways, I think this all has to do with how the current system is functioning. And with all this happening, with all this madness, I'm just happy that Bitcoin exists because I could opt out and avoid this. This is insanity. And of course, also the Kingdom of Bhutan, it came out a couple weeks ago that it was secretly accumulating Bitcoin. And now it came out again that not only have they been secretly accumulating Bitcoin, they have also been mining Bitcoin as well. And during the culture segment, a good friend of mine and the general manager of Bitcoin magazine, CK, is here to tell us about the Bitcoin conference, the Bitcoin 2023 coming up in less than a month. Literally get your tickets quickly. I think it's less than 20 days at this point.
18 right? days. Today's the first days. And it's happening May 18th.
It's coming up quickly. And I have some questions for him today in regards to some of the agenda. Some very interesting speakers that were announced last second, like Tulsi Gabbard, and also a member of government from the country of Indonesia. 273 million people. So it's a very, very big country in Asia. So we're going to talk about all that. It looks like Bitcoin's incentives continue to win. But before, I want to bring up my awesome co-host, always optimistic. That's literally why his name is Optimus Fields. How you doing, Opti?
I'm good. Shouts out to Tucson in the chat. I'm getting trolled already. What's up, bro? Man, I'm doing good. I was telling everyone in the spaces, actually, I'm getting trolled heavy already. It's early. It's Monday. Fresh new round of trolls. But man, I chilled out all weekend, Nico. I feel refreshed and ready to get another week of content down. And dude, we got CK today, so you already know he's about to drop some signal on us. Every time CK comes on, pure signal coming from CK. So I'm excited for today, man.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely phenomenal. I'm really looking forward to the show. But before we jump in, Tucson has a great suggestion. Opti is going to wear a Bitcoin Speedo around the conference. Okay, Opti, you know, I'm dyeing my hair with BTC Sessions and the touching the tip ceremony. And
I don't know about this.
The people are asking for you to wear. CK, will he be kicked out of the conference if Opti's walking around in a Bitcoin Speedo?
Please say yes.
No.
Oh, man. All right. You got to do it for the culture. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's jump straight into the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, guys, I also want to tell you about the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth, Bitcoin 2023. It's coming up Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th. It's in 18 days. Get your tickets quickly before the prices go up. And we have a promo code for you guys. You can use promo code SIMPLY to get 10% off your tickets. Let's go through some of the speaker list because there are some new speakers added. We have Michael Lewis, author of The Big Short, Moneyball. We have the Chad Saylor, Arthur Hayes, Tulsi Gabbard. That's really interesting. I want to talk to CK about that today. We have Eric Weinstein. We have Adam Back. We have Jack Maulers. We have Stacey Herbert. We have a member of the House of Representatives, Patrick McHenry. We have the Bitcoin Senator, Cynthia Lummis. And this is what I find the most interesting. And he's going to be doing a panel with Samson Mao, who left Blockstream to focus on Bitcoin, on nation state Bitcoin adoption.
So we have a member of government of Indonesia on there as well. And of course, Lynn Alden. You definitely don't want to miss the biggest Bitcoin celebration of the year, Bitcoin 2023. You can use promo code to get a 10% discount on your tickets. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 28,180 sats per dollar, 3,549 block height, 787,823 reachable Bitcoin nodes, 17,096 blocks to halving, 52,177 halving estimates, April 22nd, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,412 Bitcoin capacity value, $152 million. And my favorite stat of all this, because it continues to take fiat currencies to absolute school. Realized monetary inflation of Bitcoin, 1.75%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $545 billion. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a baby. Anyways, I want to talk about the breaking news of this morning. Basically, another big bank went down. This is Mario Nafwal. Sorry if I pronounced your last name incorrectly. But it's just breaking news, right? JP Morgan profits massively while the Fed panics from a banking contagion. JP Morgan just said its acquisition of First Republic will generate an immediate gain of $2.6 billion and $500 million in yearly profit. On top of all this, the FDIC is covering $13 billion in losses and providing $50 billion in financing. Conclusion, the Fed is terrified more banks will fail, so they will want to make sure the First Republic acquisition goes smoothly to keep confidence high. And they did this by heavily supporting JP Morgan. But commercial real estate is cratering. If that happens, the dominoes will almost certainly fall. Right. So, and he goes on to say the worst is not over. Now, what I find interesting is this is a continuation of a trend that has been happening for quite a while now. It's a consolidation of all these smaller banks into bigger and bigger banks. Right. So this list goes all the way back to 1995, and it goes all the way to 2009. And as you can see, all these banks, right, some of which you guys will be familiar with, Chase Manhattan, Bear Stearns, First Chicago, Great Western Financial, Washington Mutual, that all consolidated into JP Morgan Chase. Now you can add another bank into that consolidation. Of course, we have the consolidation of Citigroup as well. You have the consolidation of Bank of America, all these smaller banks into just bigger and bigger banks. And then maybe this is the Bitcoiner in me, but when I see that, that also tells me that it's going to be a lot easier to control the government to control a handful of banks rather than all these other banks, right? So I think it all boils down to, you know, money, politics, power and control. And I think that that's why the government is OK with this move, more consolidation. Anyways, I'm going to play you a clip of Max Keiser talking about Jamie Dimon. And it was a while ago. I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. It's pretty funny.
Hi, I'm Jamie the Tapeworm. Any money from me to steal today?
And then Obama says, we can't look back. We have to go forward. Let's pass laws to make it easier for tapeworms like Jamie to steal money.
Hi, I'm Jamie the Tapeworm. Any more money for me to steal?
And then he goes back into the warmth of his lair, his fecal-encrusted lair where he lives with his little family of tapeworms.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I want to steal more money. My stock's worth a zero. But I need more money because I'm a tapeworm named Jamie Dimon. Yeah!
This is the way Jamie Dimon wakes up. Ding dong, good morning. I'm gonna kill all the people in America! And then his wife says, coffee, dear? And then he takes out a knife, goes, no! He goes down to Wall Street. That's his job. He's a parasite. He is a murderer. He makes, serial killers dressed up like clowns look good. Hey, come over here.
I've been in the ring.
Come over here and say that.
What do you mean, come over there?
Come over here and say that.
You come over here.
No, you come over. Come on. You make the first move, buddy.
Make the first move.
Come on, get up. Make the first move. It's my show. Make the first move. Yeah, get up. Get up off your butt.
Yeah,
go ahead. Stand up. Stand up. Come on. Stand up.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Don't you understand what Jamie Dimon has done to people? Don't you understand? Don't you understand the
man? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Get out of my show. Get out of my show. Get off the set.
You know what? You can
get off the set.
Keep the show.
Get out of here.
Stick the show right where it was.
What's going on
here? Come on. Come on.
As for this crap,
get out. Somebody call security. Get this lunatic off my show. I will never get this Jamie Dimon on my show ever more. Get this lunatic out of here.
Okay, so holy crap, Max. He was right, though. So now that they made those claims, right? Jamie Dimon's a parasite, et cetera, et cetera. I just want to read this tweet, just this highlighted paragraph one more time. JP Morgan just said its acquisition of First Republic will generate an immediate gain of $2.6 billion and $500 million in yearly profit. So, I mean, oh man, more consolidation, which makes it a lot easier for the government to control a handful of banks rather than trying to control, you know, a lot of, you know, these smaller banks, these smaller community banks. And this is actually something that was brought up in Senate testimony, and it was brought up to Janet Yellen, and she just totally gaslit. I forget what the name of the senator. It was a Republican senator from the state of Oklahoma. And totally just gaslit him, like, oh, well, you know, this is part of it. But look, it's a continuation of this. So, CK, I'm curious, you know, are we crazy? Are we seeing something that's not there? Is Max crazy? Is he seeing something that's not there? It's all, and I tweeted this out this morning. It's almost as if this is on purpose. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like crazy out there other than like the trend, which is that there's this consolidation. I think their chart showed it perfectly. I remember Washington Mutual. Like I remember when all of those became Chase banks. My mom actually banked at Washington Mutual. And I actually worked for a company that's biggest client used to be First Republic Bank. And we were helping them do marketing. That was where I worked before, you know, completely switching to Bitcoin and coming to Bitcoin Magazine. So I think like it is a learning experience for people that bank with these banks, are familiar with these banks, seeing these institutions continue to fold. And is it planned? I don't know if it's like if there's like a master planned, but does it fit with the incentives of fiat money? Absolutely, right? So I think like the consolidation, it fits in with the Cantillon effect in general, which is that if you are closer to the money printer, you benefit. And ultimately, these two big to fail banks are the closest to the Cantillon effect. They've pretty much been guaranteed by the Fed, and they're going to continue to get fatter and fatter. And guess what? You know, there's this trend of centralization in general, and it behooves those who are kind of like on this train of centralization to continue to centralize and control these banks. So. I hope that gave some insight here, but I think the trend is going to continue until, all of these institutions just go bust, or it's just acknowledged that there's this, what's it called? Socialization of the U.S. banking system.
Yeah. And then the next step really would be, you know, just to get rid of the banks altogether and just move directly to a central bank digital currency system where your account is directly with the government. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I think that like the powers, you know, the Jamie Dimons, they don't want that to happen. Obviously, they want to continue to profit from being in the middle. But I could definitely see like a cabal of like, let's just call it like the three banks that everyone has to bank with. Those banks are effectively part of the government. And, you know, if they expand their, you know, Jamie Dimon coin or whatever, or they get the government gives them the privilege of taking over Circle or Tether, you know, I could see how that is like a step function move towards a CBDC. But, you know, y'all know me. I don't think like a real central bank led CBDC is actually going to happen. One, because central bankers are incompetent. But two, because Bitcoin's out in the wild already, you know, all these people are saying, you know, CBDC by 2030. Well, where's Bitcoin going to be by 2030?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Opti, what's your take on this and move on to the news?
Well, first, I'm just going to acknowledge the Max Kaiser clip that I don't know if you clipped that together. Someone did. That was hilarious. That's some good entertainment right there. But man, you know, another bank goes down. And like you guys are mentioning, the banks are getting more and more centralized. Everything is consolidating into the big banks. And I mean, I hate being like the paranoid Bitcoiner or like the, you know, tinfoil hat wearing Bitcoiner, but it does kind of feel like a controlled demolition here. You know, crazy, crazy times that we are in. What's that? Like six banks in the last 2 months? Like And then we have U.S. Treasury rolling out the statement that like, oh, the banking system is good, guys. Like, trust us, bro. Everything's fine. We got this under control. And it's like, okay, like who's next? I don't know who's got the bingo card out there to see what's the next bank to go down. But I wouldn't want to have my money in these banks unless, of course, it's in JP Morgan or, you know, the other big banks. But I think the most alarming thing to me is how the non-Bitcoiner seems to be completely asleep at the wheel or just completely buying the traditional narrative of what's going on. They're still believing in the authority. They're still trusting the experts and thinking that the banks have their money when obviously we are continuously seeing that they don't have their money. And we have the escape route. You know, we're Bitcoiners. We are sitting pretty on the sidelines, just watching all the fireworks happen. And in the face of everything, the Bitcoin price is doing pretty well. So it's almost like Bitcoin works. Yes, I saw that the price is down a little bit, but considering every aspect here, you know, TikTok next block, like Bitcoin is unaffected. Bitcoiners are unaffected as long as you have your Bitcoin in cold storage. Man, it's kind of just crazy times to watch and be on the sidelines and be like, holy sheesh. It's almost like we knew this was going to happen. And yet, even when it does happen, it's still just as crazy as ever.
Amen to that. They don't call him St. Opti for no reason. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's get to news. Let's do it.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade. Built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody, before we get to the news, I want to give a very special shout out to our new sponsor, the Orange Pill app. Stack friends who stack sats. If you're moved to a new city, or perhaps you are, you know, in the city that you've lived in, but you don't really relate to people. I'm going to use CK's wording. You don't really relate to people that are in a different operating system than you. This is a great place to find other like-minded individuals, to find other Bitcoiners who are local to you. You could search for Bitcoin-only events by location, by date. Are you going to Miami? I'm sure your day will be full of amazing speakers, especially if you're going to the Bitcoin conference. But what are you doing at night? There's nothing worse than being in a city full of Bitcoiners, but you're in your hotel room watching TV. Hop on the Orange Pill app and find other Bitcoin events. Anyways, no more delay. Let's jump straight into the news. The tiny kingdom of Bhutan secretly held millions of dollars in Bitcoin and shitcoins. And this is an article from Forbes. It goes on to say, among the world's most isolated nations, Bhutan is known for its sweeping vistas, mountaintop monasteries, and gross national happiness index that prioritizes well-being over economic growth. With an economy largely built on agriculture and forestry and infrastructure that began supporting cell phones just two decades ago, it's hardly a place one would associate with the Bitcoin and shitcoin boom and bust. And yet, over the past year, the world's happiest country has quietly dumped millions of dollars into Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other digital assets. According to court documents reviewed by Forbes, Bhutan's $2.9 billion sovereign investment arm was a customer of bankrupt crypto lenders BlockFi and Celsius. Named after Bhutan's national symbol, the mythological Thunder Dragon, Drunk Holdings and investment managers, a portfolio of homegrown assets, a local cheesemaker, several hydro power plants, I think that's some signal right there, and the Royal Bhutan Airlines, which boasts a grand total of five planes. when Drunk was established in 2007 through a royal charter from the king, it was to safeguard the country's wealth for the, quote, long-term benefit of its shareholders and the people of Bhutan. And apparently, they seem like Bitcoin is part of a mechanism of which they plan to safeguard the country's wealth. But that's not the breaking news. The breaking news is this, and this just came out. The kingdom of Bhutan has been quietly mining Bitcoin for years. This article is incredibly bullish. Anyways, beneath the Himalayas, rivers fed by ancient glaciers supply the tiny kingdom of Bhutan with immense stores of hydroelectricity. The renewable source has become an economic engine, accounting for 30% of the country's GDP and fueling the homes of nearly all of its 800,000 residents. But for the past few years, Bhutan's royal government has been quietly devising a new use for these revenues, powering its very own Bitcoin mine. Sources familiar with Bhutan's efforts to develop sovereign mining operations told Forbes that discussions have been occurring since 2020, though until this week, its government has never disclosed its plans. Bhutan sought to harness the country's hydroelectric plants to power racks of mining machines that solve complex mathematical problems in order to earn Bitcoin rewards. Once completed, this would make Bhutan one of the only countries to run a state-owned mine alongside El Salvador. So it's pretty badass, right? If you look at what El Salvador means, right? It means the savior in Spanish, and Bhutan is fucking dragon, okay? So we got the dragon and we got the savior on our side. That's badass. Anyways, quote, a few years ago, as one of the early entrants when the price of Bitcoin was around 5,000 USD. So that's when they started mining. Bhutan's Ministry of Finance did not respond to a list of questions from Forbes around the scope of the enterprise. I mean, no shit. Why would they? Look at the hell that the legacy corporate media gave El Salvador. Why would Bhutan say anything? It's unclear when mining began, where it's located, and whether the scheme has turned profitable. I mean, I would say it did because they started when Bitcoin was at $5,000. It's also unclear why Bhutan never disclosed the project to its citizens or international partners. I mean, that to me is obvious. But anyways, I'm going to stop sharing. Let's start the discussion. Dude, this is incredibly bullish. I love the fact that they kept it under wraps. Why wouldn't they keep it under wraps? The IMF went bonkers and bananas, and you started hearing all these hit pieces attacking El Salvador. I'm just glad that, you know, it's like that meme, that Bitcoin meme that floats around. Didn't read not selling. that seems exactly like what the Kingdom of Bhutan is doing. And again, the names, bro, the names. We got the dragon and we got the savior on our side. And it's just crazy. And I saw a tweet by Marty Bent the other day, it was actually this morning, basically saying, yeah, this is ground up, right? This is happening on a ground up level. It's these smaller countries that don't benefit from having the privilege of being able to create money for free without causing hyperinflation. It's these countries that are actively seeking alternatives, right? So this is incredibly bullish. When Bitcoin legal tender? How long until that happens? Anyway, CK, what are your thoughts on this, brother?
Well, I just want to, you know, point out that Bhutan this entire time before El Salvador has been secretly mining Bitcoin and accumulating Bitcoin and other tokens. You know, let's not hold it against them. It's still early. But how many more of these countries exist, right? You know, how many and potentially even smarter ones? You know, we know that Bhutan made some mistakes. You know, they were customers of Celsius and BlockFi, obviously, you know, some dubious potential due diligence there. But so how many more countries, you know, we already think and speculate and a lot of mining, let's say mining equipment dealers are working very heavily with Russia. So that's another one. I think that there's a lot of countries that are, you know, either explicitly or secretly, kind of being continuing to move forward and playing into the Bitcoin incentive structure. And ultimately, the fact that this is a tiny country, like you pointed out, Nico, is really important because I think that Bitcoin wins at the margins, right? So it's the marginal country. It's the country you've never heard of right now that has a benefit of starting to leverage some of its resources, its fiat, its debt, whatever, to accumulate Bitcoin. So, I would not be shocked this time next year before Bitcoin 2024, if we're talking about five or six or seven different countries. I know that with this Bhutan news, our programming team is reaching out to whoever at Bhutan can represent this and come to the event. So we'll announce if anything, you know, solidifies there. But yeah, hey, you know, we talked about earlier on the show, one of the governors of Indonesia is coming to the event to talk about Bitcoin with Samson. And I truly believe that this is just the beginning, and it's going to happen at the margins, not you know, with the U.S., not with Europe.
Yeah, 100%. I've tweeted this out many times. I said I'm more bullish on the global South adopting Bitcoin than I am, you know, in developed countries. And the reason for that is, in the sad reality is that, you know, we, and Alex Gladstein wrote a great book, which you guys published, by the way. You know, it's called Financial Privilege, but I always forget the
check your financial privilege.
Check your financial privilege. Thank you, CK. It was so embarrassing because I had an appearance on mainstream media, and I referred to the book as Financial Privilege instead of check your financial privilege. So, but I caught myself this time. Anyways, the reality is that in developed countries that have strong fiat currencies, the inflation rate isn't so big enough for people to realize that they're being stolen from. But in the global South, they don't have that privilege. I mean, look at Argentina, 104% inflation. So over there, when the guy in the suit goes on TV and says, hey, guys, you have to do your patriotic duty and stay in pesos or whatever the country's currency is, the people don't really take that person on TV very, very seriously. You know, they're like, you know, if it comes to either putting food on the table for my family, or, you know, listening to this guy on TV telling me to use the state, you know, the state currency, they don't really have a big incentive to listen to that. And those countries are ripe for something like Bitcoin, especially if they are not even issuing their own money, like a lot of countries in Africa, like Ecuador, like Panama, like El Salvador, right, that are using another country's money. So they don't even get to dictate their own monetary policy. Bitcoin is perfect for them. You know, it's such easy pickings. Anyways, before we move on, Opti, what's your take on this, brother?
Well, we've been saying for a while on the show that, you know, Bitcoin's incentives are stronger than anything. And here we are. We're seeing in real time more countries adopt Bitcoin. And the Bitcoin nation state game theory is playing out in real time. And while we love to see individuals stack Bitcoin, everyone and their mother and every institution will eventually stack Bitcoin. And there's nothing that we can say to stop that. Like, it is what it is. People will wake up to the idea that they need Bitcoin on their balance sheet. And, you know, all we can really do is just try to not let them have all the Bitcoin, continue to stack the Bitcoin. But it's something we've kind of been talking about here. It's like, we're not going to know who's stacking and who's not and who's mining and who isn't. We're just going to slowly but surely see that information leak out there, maybe, you know, like this one, because they got wrecked and blocked by Celsius, and that's why they pretty much had to disclose this information. And I think we will see this play out over and over and over again. But like CK said, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what countries are a lot smarter out there and don't basically wreck themselves and then have to leak this information out. And it's just, you know, like, hey, guys, like, you're in here ahead of nation states. Like, you're in here ahead of the tycoons of industry. And this is the opportunity for us as individuals to stack Bitcoin. But it really makes me wonder and feel like we are on like the tips of a massive bull run if we are seeing more and more of this information start to leak out. Like, you know, Bhutan mining since 5K. I know El Salvador has like the official first nation to adopt Bitcoin, but they were there before them. And there's also other countries that are there before them that we, you know, aren't so public about, or that aren't so public about their Bitcoin holdings, because obviously the powers that be will start to shit on them, and you're better off not exposing your Bitcoin holdings. So, you know, can someone just run the numbers on what their like GDP might be now if they are holding Bitcoin? Like, I'm sure it's going to be something impressive if they are holding this Bitcoin on their balance sheet. But what have we been saying on the show for a while? The countries in the global South that do adopt Bitcoin are going to catapult their small countries into a more prosperous future. And I just love to see it. This is what we love to see is people improving their lives on Bitcoin, whether it is on a nation state level, whether it is on a corporation level or an individual level. Bitcoin's game theory is playing out. The Bitcoin incentives are just too strong for people to avoid. And hey, guys, like, this is why we're here, and we're early to this. Like, you're still early to this. And this is the opportunity of having asymmetric knowledge, is being ahead of nation states adoption.
Amen to that. CK?
Yeah, no, I wanted to jump in too. And I'm kind of curious what y'all think. You know, Bhutan was spending upwards of 10% of their total kind of public budget on mining equipment, and a significant amount of their imports. The most valuable element of their imports into the country was mining equipment. How do y'all feel about, you know, some people are saying like Bhutan would have been better off just buying Bitcoin that entire time. But I think that it is really interesting that they went so heavy into mining, partially because I think mining is sovereign versus like buying Bitcoin. Obviously, you can hold it and be sovereign with that, but it's a little bit of a different kind of a game theory. And maybe mining is a lot more private. I'm kind of curious what y'all think about the fact that they chose to go really heavy into mining versus just accumulating.
Yeah, I mean, that's so.
Well,
that's,
can I jump in, Nico? Because mine's going to be quick. First, okay, I think CK touched it. It is a more private. But then, like, on the pun of it's literally a power play, whether that's electricity or whether that is, you know, just stacking Bitcoin and having mining infrastructure in their country. So that would be like my two sats. But go, Nico.
Yeah, no. So, and that's actually a really fascinating, point, CK. And I'll say this, and I'll never forget. Who told me this? It was Ben Gagnon, a friend of mine. He's the chief mining officer at Bitfarms. And he told me, he's like, Nico, mining is a leverage long. And that's number one. Number two is the name of the game in mining is your power costs. And if they have these giant hydroelectricity plants that obviously, you know, are producing more electricity, are producing more power than their people need, right? That causes excess demand. Excess demand makes prices extremely cheap, meaning it's a very, very good location to mine Bitcoin, right? So I'm assuming they have cheap electricity. If they didn't have cheap electricity, I don't think they would be investing in Bitcoin miners. So that's my two takes on that, right? If you have cheap enough electricity and it looks like they got in at the right time, if they've been mining since 5K, they've been in the green for a very, very long time now. And that explains why they're willing to give up to 10% of their investment into mining. And I suspect that number will continue to go up due to the country's natural resources of this just tremendous amount of hydroelectric power capability, right? So this is my take on that. But anyways, guys, before we move on to the culture, this is a peaceful Bitcoin revolution, and you want to make it over the finish line with your generational wealth, but you're definitely not going to do that if you back up your generational wealth on paper. You want to put your backup, your Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and passphrases on steel, and there's no better place to do it than the BitPlates Domino. It's easy to use, hard to destroy, made from highly corrosion-resistant 316 marine-grade stainless steel, and it offers the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. You can use promo code SIMPLY to get 10% off any BitPlates products. No more delay. Let's get to the culture and let's talk about the Bitcoin conference. Let's do this.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys, I also want to tell you about Swan's new product. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, not an ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. And of course, you could always send me a Twitter DM if you have any questions, doubts, or concerns. Anyways, Opti.
Whoa, he necked himself. Hold on, wrong one, Nico. Wrong one.
I'm so excited about this. Thank you, Opti. And this is why Opti's here. I'm really excited about this conversation, CK, because last time you were here, a lot more interesting speakers were added to the lineup. The one that comes to mind, the one that I find the most interesting, is we have Tulsi Gabbard. Of course, we have Eric Weinstein. We have, you know, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Adam Back. But we also have a member of government from the Kingdom of Indonesia. And you were mentioning to me his panel that he's going to be on with Samson Mao. Could you elaborate a little bit on that? What's happening there?
Yeah, no, great. And so I don't know the full details. It's not a panel. It is a fireside chat, and it's about bringing Bitcoin to Indonesia. So let me double check what the title is.
I got it right here.
Oh yeah, and yeah, the Indonesian Bitcoin campaign. So yeah, we'll see the details there. You know, Samson has been, you know, getting a lot of at bats with these smaller nation states. He's been focusing on that full time with Jan 3, and very, very interested to see what Ridwan is going to be talking about and announcing at the conference.
I'm super excited about that. And for anyone that doesn't know, Bhutan's a very small country. El Salvador is a very small country. Indonesia is a very big country. 273 million people. Also, shout out to Samson Mao for, you know, spending his time, dedicating his time, the most precious asset any of us humans have, to pushing, you know, the peaceful Bitcoin revolution and really pushing it forward on the nation state level. And also, they announced their first Bitcoin conference as well, Indonesia, right? Which is, I think that was really interesting. And again, big coincidence that they announced their first Bitcoin conference while, you know, they're going to make this announcement at Bitcoin 2023. So I'm very excited for that. So the next question I have for you, CK, is Tulsi Gabbard, right? And I'll preface this with this, right? We really believe at Simply Bitcoin that Bitcoin is not a left or right thing. Bitcoin is all inclusive. You know, it's not about red versus blue. It's not about Democrat versus Republican. I think that's how they distract everybody from the money stealing from them. Bitcoin is about really the war that's happening is orange versus green, right? So we need to get as many, you know, people on the side of orange versus the side of green. We obviously know where Elizabeth Warren stands. But it's good to hear, and you can make the assumption that Tulsi Gabbard is clearly on the side of orange. So extremely, extremely bullish on that. So CK, do you want to elaborate a little bit more? What's this about? What's this keynote going to be about? What are you excited about it?
Yeah, well, Tulsi Gabbard is one of those people that they've had a really interesting journey. She is a congresswoman from Hawaii. When she was in Congress, she was part of the Democratic Party. And let's just say over the last 2-3 years, you know, since COVID broke out, she has become a very different kind of person and has really started to speak very strongly in opposition of kind of the corruption that's happening on political levels, as well as in favor of freedom and in favor of liberty and in favor of fairness. So really kind of against what is happening in the mainstream very strongly. And, you know, the whole point of the Bitcoin conference, let's just zoom out, because a lot of Bitcoiners, I feel like, are mad at us because we are trying to create a big tent event that attracts a lot of different people to the conference, not just those who already diehard Bitcoiners. And the whole point is so we can have a conversation with someone like a Tulsi, who's right on the edge, right? She is someone who has already gone through a journey herself. And, you know, we can have a conversation with her about, hey, this is how Bitcoin aligns with the journey that you're already going on. This is how Bitcoin aligns with your values. And we have a group of tens of thousands of people who are gathering on this day in celebration of and in order to push forward this mission and to push forward the tools to bring about more liberty and more freedom. And we kind of give them an opportunity, one, to speak to the Bitcoiner audience, but two, to really investigate Bitcoin and make a public statement about it. Last year, we saw this in a huge way with Jordan Peterson, with Peter Thiel, with other folks, you know, Glenn Greenwald at the conference, folks who, you know, are kind of like around the Bitcoin topics that we focus on every single day, you know, on Simply Bitcoin and Bitcoin Magazine, but not really firmly making a statement around it. And, you know, we give them a platform to do that. So we're doing the same thing with Tulsi Gabbard. She has a platform to give a keynote on the main stage. We're also going to be introducing her to Bitcoin heavyweights backstage with a meet and greet. And we're also talking to her about how she can enter into the Bitcoin political sphere in an intelligent way. So we're really trying to make this a really great opportunity, both for Tulsi to connect with the Bitcoiner audience, but also connect Tulsi to Bitcoin in what we believe to be the right way. So really, really excited for her to get up on stage as well and speak. And most of these presentations, they're surprises to me too. So the programming team is working hard on the details. I'm kind of on the inside looking in, if you will, but I'm really excited.
Yeah, man, it's so crazy that these high profile names you know are speaking, and I kind of got a glimpse of what Opti's going to talk about.
We got to talk about it, bro.
We have to talk about it
because we had Nolan on. We tried to get Chris to talk about it.
Is that Shell? Is
you guys
that
been Shell? Telling us, I think one of the biggest things you guys are going to feature is energy at this year's conference. And me and my friend Mike Hobart continuously have these conversations about like the future moving forward. And the bullishness surrounding energy and Bitcoin mining is where people are not bullish enough. And Shell's a sponsor this year and next year. So I know you can't release too much information here, but what's the thread here? What's the theme?
Well, you guys are exactly correct. And I know Nolan talked about it too, but you know, Bitcoiners are about two things, financial literacy and energy literacy. So, you know, the Bitcoin conference has gone from like a Bitcoin only event to one of the largest fintech events in the world. And now it's evolving into one of the largest fintech and energy events in the world, because that's what Bitcoin is. Bitcoin is like the marriage of finance, is the marriage of energy, and it's the marriage of monetary policy, which fits right into like what is currently being controlled by government. So Bitcoin is a marriage of all of these things. So of course, the Bitcoin conference is going to evolve into including a lot of these different stakeholders. And yes, it's Shell this year and next year, but guess what? Next year, it'll be more big names as well. So the energy sphere is going to become the Bitcoin industry. You know, there you cannot be an energy producer and be competitive in the future without Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining, because it has so much utility and offers so much opportunity for profitability that if you don't adopt it, someone else will, and they will take you down. They will outcompete you. Shell in particular, I believe it's their division who's working on the kind of like liquid cooling industry, which is a huge, huge element of the energy industry in general and Bitcoin mining too. So we're going to see companies like Shell get involved in Bitcoin mining on many, 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 many different levels. So I'm really excited for it.
Love it. One other thing that I saw, I know this deadline just passed, but I saw that you guys have given out I got Odell's tweet here. More than 100 free tickets to open source contributors this year. Absolutely awesome. What's the thinking behind that, bro?
So we did this last year and this year, but the whole idea is that if you have contributed in a verifiable way to a list of Bitcoin and Bitcoin ecosystem projects that are open source, we want you to be at the event. So last year, I believe we gave 110 open source tickets away. I think the final total of this year will be closer to like 160, 170. I wanted to give away 200 tickets, but here we're at about 160. I'm super proud of that. That's going to be, you know, that's going to be close to like 1% of the entire attendance are open source contributors. So these are people who, you know, are doing thankless work for the Bitcoin ecosystem. And it's the least that we can do to make it as easy as possible for them to be at the event. And on the flip side, these people bring so much richness to the event, right? Like this is the perfect attendee, right? Because they're building Bitcoin. They are most likely entrepreneurs. They are most likely someone who would either start a company or be an excellent employee. They're obviously technical. They obviously understand Bitcoin deeply. So it's the perfect person to attend the event. And it's who Bitcoiners want to rub shoulders with, right? Like Nico, Opti, you know, I'm sure you want to meet devs. I'm sure you want to meet those who are building wallets and building exchanges and building APIs and Lightning and Nostr and all that kind of good stuff. So it just makes a ton of sense.
Absolutely, 100%. So I know what a lot of people are thinking. Basically, they're on the fence still, right? They're like, hey, you know, why should I go to this event? You know, so if you had an elevator pitch, CK, you know, in the last, you know, couple minutes of this segment, how would you convince them? Why would you tell them to go make the journey? I say make the pilgrimage to the...
It is a pilgrimage.
It is a pilgrimage to what I call the Bitcoin Super Bowl week, which is the Bitcoin 2023 conference, you know, and all the satellite events that are happening around the same time. How would you give them that pitch? I always say, hey, you know, if you're looking to get a job in the industry, you know, this is the place to be. So I'm very curious what your take is on that.
Yeah, man. No, I think that that's a great question. So ultimately, Bitcoiners are best in person. So whether it's the Bitcoin conference or whether it's your Bitcoin meetup or whether it's Pacific Bitcoin or any other local event, Bitcoiners are best in person. In terms of the Bitcoin conference, Bitcoin 2023 in Miami Beach this year, it is by far the ultimate place to, you know, get exposure to this industry. So whether you're Shell and you're trying to get exposure to this industry, or whether you're a pleb that wants to get exposure to this industry, you know, again, over 10,000 Bitcoiners coming together, you know, there's going to be over 50, 60 side events that are happening throughout Bitcoin week. There are going to be 8 different, you know, networking opportunities within the actual conference. It's all about meeting the Bitcoin ecosystem in person. And this is how you get a job in the space. This is how you start a company in the space. This is how you get to meet plebs. You get to meet like lifelong partners in this journey through hyper Bitcoinization. It all happens at Bitcoin conferences. For me personally, I got my job because I went to a Bitcoin conference, and I have been in charge of hiring a lot of people, and I've hired people that I've met at Bitcoin conferences, you know, more than anything else. So again, it really is the, you know, Bitcoin Twitter Nostr in real life. It is the Bitcoin ecosystem making a pilgrimage and creating a physical instantiation of the industry in one place. And it is worth its weight in sats in terms of the opportunities that it presents you from just being in a place where there's that much Bitcoin energy happening at once.
100%. And I agree. Look, I met Opti for the first time in the flesh at a Bitcoin conference, right?
You know, dude, you literally pulled me aside at Bitcoin Magazine last year and was like, bro, do the Twitter account for Simply Bitcoin. I'm like,
yeah, there we go.
Let's fucking go.
On the floor, I remember in the lobby of Bitcoin 2022. That's literally where I told Opti to join the Simply Bitcoin team. So yeah, those types of things you can't replace. Look, we live in a digital world, right? You know, you see video, you know, Twitter Spaces, all these things are happening, but you can't. There's something about one-on-one, in person, in meet space. You can't get rid of that energy. You can't replace it with the internet. So I can't recommend this conference enough. And you could, guys, you could use the promo code SIMPLY to get 10% discount. You got to go to b.tc/conference and enter the promo code and you get 10% off. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by KaboomRax. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is KaboomRax. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRax. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. KaboomRax.
Kaboom.
Wait, before I talk about the meme review, hold on. Shouts out to Opti's Big Mac coin wallet maxed out. He goes, the day that Opti took over the Simply Bitcoin Twitter account was very obvious. LOL. Hey, you know me, guys. Anyways, this is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show. You guys watch everything else just to get to the memes. What do we say every single day? Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery, and we are in an information war.
Hey, by the way, I said that at the Bitcoin conference on the meme panel.
Was it this one as well?
You're against Bitcoin. You're against freedom.
Yeah, I said that at Bitcoin 2021. So let's see what Nico fucking quotes.
Let's see what memetics you can come up with this year.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
All right, guys. Well, as you guys know, hats out to you guys out there, the shit posters, the meme makers. We are in an information war, and it's upon us to not only entertain ourselves and our friends, but get the message out there so more people become Bitcoiners, get the calls of actions out there, ridicule the unproductive class, and continue to do what you guys do. Anyways, this first meme, I think, couldn't have been more fitting. We got Maxi's Club here, and it's a play on the Spider-Man meme, and it's two Bitcoiners, two Pepe the Frog Bitcoiners looking at each other, and it goes, "You're not a real Bitcoiner. Wait, no, you're not a real Bitcoiner. Wait, no, you're not a real Bitcoiner." If you know, you know. This is what Twitter's been devolving to recently. Anyways, the next meme is by the BTC therapist, and he goes, "Satoshi gave us hope, hashtag BTC." And we got someone here with fiat in his wallet. And he goes, "Wait, what is that?" And we got a Bitcoiner with the Bitcoin in his hands. And he goes, "Hope. Bitcoin is hope, guys. Bitcoin can give you a new lease on life. Bitcoin can unlock your human potential. And you can start to live the dreams you always wanted on the Bitcoin standard." Anyways, this next meme is a... Big Sean Harris is killing it here. You know, not only is this one like a PSA, but there's calls of actions to here. This guy's killing it on this meme. Anyway, Big Sean Harris goes, "It's not who you dox your Bitcoin stack to that matters. It's about who they dox it to." And this is the play on the girl.
Don't do that.
Yeah, this is the play on the girl yelling at her boyfriend at the festival. And she's pointing and she goes, "I told that guy over there that you have 25 Bitcoin and that we're rich." Oh, man. Absolutely wrecked. Look at his face. This is called wrecked right there. Okay, this next one is by our friend Vikingo. The in-house Simply Bitcoin Spaces toxic Bitcoiner Vikingo. And he just goes, hashtag Bitcoin. He goes, "One does not simply hodl Bitcoin. You will suffer before you don't give a fuck." And this is when you're really a Bitcoiner. Okay, this next one is by Kiwi. A friend of mine at New Zealand HODL, and he goes, "It is through fear, uncertainty, and doubt that truth is obfuscated and division is sown. This division is what enables expropriation, truth to trust. Therefore, it is through truth that we will verify, atone at one mint, and unify." And we got some charts here, and we got euro purchasing power down and to the right. We got the U.S. dollar purchasing power plummeting. We got the pound purchasing power plummeting. And then we got BTC purchasing power up and to the right. Number will go up, boys and girls. It's only a matter of time until we get out of this bear market completely and we see the pump of a lifetime. Anyways, this next meme is by Lumi X, and he goes, "Good morning." And we got all you guys out there, the humble Bitcoin Zen addict, and we got a Bitcoiner meditating, and we go, "Stay humble, and you stay humble by stacking sats, and when you stack sats, you stay more humble, and while you stay more humble, you stack more sats, and this is the cycle of a Bitcoiner. You just stay humble and stack sats, and you stack sats to stay humble. One leads into the other." This next one is by the fellas over at Bitcoin Magazine, aka I think it's just Nick and crew, but shouts out to CK. And he goes, and again, I don't know where they got this one, because I know you guys be taking memes and just reposting them for more and more leverage and further views. And we got Satoshi Lives Fist, and I really like this art piece. It's an Anon with just the Bitcoin logos and shadowy supercoder in the hoodie. Master of Chaos, yes. Big Sean Harris knows. Big Sean Harris knows. All right, guys.
No one makes Nico feel uncomfortable on air like Opti.
It's my job. It's my job now. Okay, guys, drop your meme review score on the chat, in the chat, and we will cover them live. My meme review score today is a stapler. I had to find new knickknacks. I'm adding new knickknacks to my. Actually, no. I'm redoing my score. We're giving it physical Bitcoin magazines. Bitcoin mags. Since CK is here. Since CK is here.
I was going to give it the new one.
Give it the new one. What's the newest one? Give it the new. Do you have the newest one in there?
I'm patiently waiting. The gatekeeper. Oh,
well, I see Joe Rogers in the spaces. Joe, we need the new magazine on the show. Yeah. Hashtag free Julian Assange. I'm going to give it BTC pins, Bitcoin magazine pin. That's going to be my score. Repping it today in honor of CK coming on as a guest. Anyways, guys, before we get to the other scores, I want to give a shout out to the awesome clothing company that sponsors the show, representltd.com. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. Check out the Simply Bitcoin hat, which, by the way, there's more. You guys asked for it, so there's more available. Get it while supplies last. And also for the ladies, they're going to be dropping Simply Bitcoin merch, lady design Simply Bitcoin merch for you guys very, very soon. So stay tuned. Check out all the other awesome stuff. You got to go to representltd.com. Use promo code simply-bitcoin. All right, guys, no more delay. Opti, let's get through some of the scores. But first, cue the epic music. Let's do it. All right, Opti. Opti's Big Mac coin wallet score, a thought in 2140, drunkenly telling her boyfriend, quote, "I told that guy over there we have one sat and it's generational wealth."
Let's go.
Satswise Jank says, "I give those memes one nuclear plant in the Pennsylvania 570 mining Bitcoin." Okay, okay, okay. Next one, Elaine, Bhutan wisdom spreads to every country with water. Oof. Some good stuff. Michael, I give the memes a dragon riding savior stacking sats. I love that. I love that. All right, Opti. McLovin, I give the memes all the altcoins in my Coinbase wallet.
So wait, that's a bad score, bro.
That's a bad score. Bitcoin for Canadians, I give the memes a large Bhutan burger with bacon, cheese, and a side order of sats. All right, all right. And we're out of time. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. I want to thank our awesome guest for joining us today. CK, thank you so much for joining us, brother. We really appreciate it. And why don't you tell everybody where they could find you on the interwebs? And I would ask you what you're working on now these days, but I mean...
Yeah, no, Nico, hey, I appreciate y'all having me on. I love the show. I also love the merch, so shout out to Represent LTD. I rock the dropping truth bombs tee all the time. It's one of my favorite Bitcoin t-shirts. Y'all can find me at CK_snarks on Twitter, and you could similar handle on Noster. That's usually it's you can look up handles now, Noster now, so makes it easy. But yeah, hey, find me at the Bitcoin conference. I'm going to be at the Bitcoin conference. I'm going to be working it real fucking hard. So come meet every single person on the Bitcoin magazine team at the Bitcoin conference. Come meet Nico. Nico, I'm excited to see you part of the programming and to give you a big hug. Same with you, Opti, and to everyone in the audience. See you in Miami.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for joining us today, guys. Like CK said, hope to see you all in Miami. You could use promo code SIMPLY and go to b.tc/conference to get your tickets now before the prices go up. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you like the show, we appreciate it if you smash that like button. If you feel like we provided you value, consider subscribing. But the number one thing you could do to help push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is share Bitcoin content. Not just this content. Share this video, that helps us, but share all Bitcoin content. Don't share shitcoin content. That's counterproductive. You guys get the gist of it. Anyways, the party will go on. We are co-hosting A Spaces with our friends over at Swan Bitcoin. Best place to build your Bitcoin stack. And that after party goes all the way until 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You have your chance to ask Opti any questions. So I'll see you guys there. But we'll be back with the live show tomorrow, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.
All right, boys. This is the Simply Bitcoin Spaces, where you guys can come up here, add your two sats to the conversation. This is a Bitcoin space by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. Don't have me just sitting up here on my soapbox for 45 minutes. It's way more fun when we can have a real conversation with all you guys out there, all my friends out there. I see you guys. Am I going to have to pick on some of you guys? What a day, man. As I told you guys, actually, hold on. Before I go on, shouts out to my boy. I know he's sitting in here in private mode, so I can't ever see him because he's a shadowy supercoder. Opti's Big Mac coin wallet, in parentheses, it's maxed out. If you know, you know. Oh, man. That's a hilarious, hilarious name. Anyways, guys, what a crazy, crazy weekend. We have another bank failure. We have another nation state coming out publicly saying that they are stacking Bitcoin, well, rather mining Bitcoin. But I really do believe the rest of this year,